You are listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. This week, we're going to be talking to Tim Gokey. He's a chief engineer for the Nebraska Dam Safety Program. Out here in the Middle Republican NRD, we have 30 of these watershed flood reduction structures. But Tim and I are going to be talking about Nebraska's dam landscape, different dam types, dam construction and maintenance, the importance of dam safety, and also some upcoming workshops that he is going to be hosting. So let's get into that interview that I had with Tim right now.
I'm Tim Gokey. I'm the chief engineer for the Nebraska Dam Safety Program. We're a division within the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources. Been with the department now for about 17 years. I have a background in engineering, so I graduated from the University of Nebraska in 1999 with a degree in civil engineering. I did private consulting with water resources projects for about 8 years. One of the things I did was work on dams, and I really enjoyed that. So I look forward to the opportunity to really focus my career on just working with dams. So what I've been doing for the last 17 years, and I've been with the department the entire time.
Yeah, and as we were talking a little bit earlier, people to understand that Nebraska has a lot of dams. So how many dams do you oversee?
It's been estimated there's about 40,000 dams across Nebraska. And what I say is we regulate the just under 3,000. So we have oversight just under 3,000 dams, and basically the 3,000, what I say is the 3,000 largest dams in the state. But yeah, most people are surprised that we have that many dams in Nebraska. But pretty much anywhere that there's a body of water, there's a dam there. We do have a few natural lakes in Nebraska, but it's pretty much isolated to just the sand hills. So if there's a body of water anywhere else, there's probably a dam there.
And so what are the differences between the dry dams out here out west versus the ones that are more fishing hole type back east?
So many of our dams in western Nebraska, they're dry most of the time. Not all the time, but many don't have a pool or pond of water most of the time. Mm-hmm. This is especially true if the dam was built solely for flood control. A pool area or reservoir is dry until it rains. Mm-hmm. If it rains enough for there to be runoff, then they will fill up with water, will capture the flood water, hold it, slowly release it over the course of a few days or even weeks. That is how they provide flood control, by capturing the flood, holding it, and then releasing it slowly over time. There's obviously less rainfall in western Nebraska, so often there is not enough rainfall to support or maintain a pool of water behind the dam. Mm-hmm. Also, the soils in western Nebraska tend to be more silty or sandy.
Right.
So when it rains, the ground soaks up the water and there's less runoff. So many of our dams, not all, but many of our dams in western Nebraska are dry most of the time.
Yeah, we've definitely needed them a few times. Like last couple of springs have been a little bit more wild, I think, than people have anticipated. So they've definitely been a savior for that.
Yeah. No, we've had a couple big storms, especially in the McCook area. There was a large storm upstream of McCook. The dams were dry. There was virtually no water behind them. And then, you know, we've got 7 inches of rain in just a couple hours, and those flood control dams filled up, and they stored that water and released it slowly. And now in eastern Nebraska, it's different. There's more rainfall on average, and the soils have much higher clay content, so it rains more often. When it rains, more water runs off. If you have a dam in eastern Nebraska, it's more likely you'll be able to have a pond all the time and even support a fishery. But other than that, there really isn't a lot of difference, you know, between our dams in eastern Nebraska and western Nebraska. All the dams are designed for flood conditions. They must be able to pass a sizable flood without water overtopping the dam or or the dam failing, and how they work during a flood is very similar by and large, no matter what part of the state the dam is located.
And is there a need for new dams?
We continue to build dams in Nebraska. We have slowed down, you know, from the peak dam building era of the 1960s and 70s when we were maybe building 60 to 100 dams every year in Nebraska, but we still see, you know, 10 to 20 dams built every year. I think there's three primary reasons dams are still being built. Number one is flood control. As we saw in 2019, we can have devastating flooding that can impact a lot of people and impact mm-hmm. communities. And as a result of that, you know, there's some communities that are looking at, you know, what can we do to prevent this flood from happening again? So we've got some flood control projects that are happening to protect communities from flooding. And as part of that effort, some of those flood control plans include building some dams upstream of those communities. You know, we still see some dams being built for irrigation. Water is obviously valuable. And we still have some places in the state where there may be excess water. Those can help us get through the dry times. So, you know, I think most of the best opportunities for building large irrigation dams have probably already been constructed. But there's a handful of sites around the state where we're still seeing dams be built for water storage. And I guess the last thing, the third reason I see a lot of dams getting built are really for livestock waste. Large livestock feeding operations are required to control their wastewater. Mm-hmm. This is often achieved by constructing a lagoon or lagoons. And some of these lagoons are large enough, they're classified as dams and fall under our safety regulations. Some of those lagoons are dug into the ground, so, you know, there really isn't an opportunity for them to fail and the water to get released. We have reviewed those plans, and at least a couple of them are going to be classified as dams. We will regulate those for their safety, just like we do the other dams that we talked about.
All right, so tell us about if a farmer wanted to build a dam, what would be the steps they needed to take?
The first thing I always say is don't go too big. You can have a nice pond, provide a lot of benefits, and stay below the thresholds that I mentioned earlier. This will reduce, you know, not only the cost of the dam, but also your potential liability if the dam were to fail. So those thresholds were kind of put there for a reason. If you stay below those thresholds, just the potential for downstream damage is much less. So that's what first thing I say is look at the thresholds, look at how big you want to go, and then I encourage people to stay below those for those reasons that I mentioned. But if they still want to go big, it will require permits from the state. You'll have to hire an engineer to develop the plans and assure it will meet the safety standards. This, of course, will increase costs, and the plans will have to be submitted to us for review. And then after the plans are approved, construction can begin. But the engineer will still have to be involved because the engineer will have to oversee the construction. And at the end, the engineer has to certify that the dam was actually built according to the plans that were approved. So this just all adds more costs. So anyway, it can be done. I would say if you want to go big, probably talk to us before you start the project so we can kind of help coach you and kind of verify that you're on the right track. But yeah, it can be done. It's just kind of depends how big you want to go.
Right. And you guys have a workshop coming up here soon too, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. We actually have two workshops coming up. It's been a few years since we've done this, but on October 22nd, we're going to have a dam owner workshop in Lincoln. And then on October 24th, we're going to have the same workshop in North Platte. And we're calling this the Need to Know Basics of Owning a Dam. We're going to cover liabilities associated with owning a dam, how to inspect your dam, what can go wrong, what to look for, how to maintain your dam, and how to make repairs. And so, like I said, it's kind of the basics, the need to know basics of owning a dam. It's going to be kind of an all day, start at 8:30, hopefully be done around 4 o'clock. The cost will be $20. And for that $20, it includes a light breakfast and lunch. So we think it's a pretty good deal. You do have to register beforehand. If anyone's interested, just visit our homepage, the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources homepage. There's a link on there about the workshops, and there's a link on there so that if someone's interested, they can get registered for those workshops.
Yeah, and I think even if they aren't a dam owner, it's definitely important to go anyway to get yourself educated on what's going on and what somebody would need to do if that happened to be something they wanted to do in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, we certainly encourage all our dam owners to come, but yeah, it's open to anyone who's interested in dams, either for whatever reason. And like you said, maybe they don't have a dam now, but maybe they're thinking about building one. So they would kind of know a little bit about what they're getting into and what to expect.
Or they love dams and they're an engineer and they want to work for you one day.
That's right. Yep, we're always looking for engineers, and I mean, I have a passion for dams, and I'm looking for other people who want to do what we do. I think we're going to cap registration about at 100 people at each place, but I think that'll be enough. We want to fill it up, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, and you said this is going to be where in North Platte?
In North Platte, it's going to be at the University of Nebraska at the West Central Research and Extension Center.
So another question for you, Tim, how do you work with the dam sponsors such as the NRDs to assure safety is upheld with those dams?
You know, I think dams are really unique in that they're large infrastructure, you know, mm-hmm. like just like our roads and our highways and our bridges, they're infrastructure. But where dams are really unique is that whereas our roads and bridges are typically publicly owned, dams, the ownership, you know, runs the gamut from, we do have federal dams in Nebraska. We have dams owned by the state of Nebraska. We have dams owned by NRDs, but we also have dams, over half of our dams are privately owned, whether that be individual producers or landowners and even homeowners associations. You know, there's some homes around them with a homeowner association that there's a dam there. So we regulate those dams as well. I guess to answer your question, you know, before a dam is constructed that is large enough to fall under our jurisdiction, plans for the dam must be developed by an engineer. Mm-hmm. And we review those plans to make sure the dam will meet current safety standards. And then after the dam is constructed, we inspect the dam with the dam owner to make sure the dam is properly maintained and make sure no problems are developing. If there are problems, we'll help, maybe recommend what can be done or suggest they hire an engineer to help them if it's a severe problem, maybe something more complex, find a solution to address the problem. Finally, we have 158 dams across Nebraska that are classified as high hazard potential. Mm-hmm. These dams are large enough or located above populated areas where there is potential for loss of life if the dams were to fail. So these dams have to meet the highest safety standards. And in addition, the owner of the dam is required to have an emergency action plan. So this plan lays out what will be done if there's an emergency situation at the dam. So we review these plans, these emergency action plans with the dam owners to make sure they're up to date and include everything that is needed in case of emergency.
Right. So if a producer wanted to, you know, build one of these dams, have to go through a lot of steps to be able to make sure that that dam was in working order and safety plans and all the other stuff. So that's pretty wild to go through all that to build a dam, you know, but I guess if you really want one.
Right.
You'll go through
it. Yeah. No, it's the laws are there for a reason. The statutes are there for a reason. And, you know, if a dam is large enough, if it were to fail, you know, the effects can be felt for miles downstream. So the flood wave can travel many miles downstream. And other things, maybe we've learned this the hard way. There were some major dam failures in the, going even back to the 1800s that did lead to loss of life. And then throughout the 20th century, there were some major dam failures. And that's really kind of how the state dam safety programs got set up. Was after those failures. There was a major failure in Pennsylvania, major failure in California that killed over 400 people. And then other states saw that, and basically one by one, all the states adopted some sort of dam safety standards to make sure these large reservoirs, that if they were to fail and they could have, you know, basically catastrophic consequences downstream, that there's oversight to hopefully avoid those situations.
Right, because water is beautiful and calm until it's not.
Yeah. It people talk about the power of water, but mm-hmm. You know, until these really catastrophic floods that are maybe like what we saw some of the flooding in 2019. Until you see it really with your own eyes, it's hard to imagine the damage that water can cause, especially if it's very deep, fast moving water.
Right. Well, we had Gary Vickers on, and she was talking about how her dad got a lot of the dam initiatives out here because of the flooding that would happen so often. So sure. We have all those pre-NRD irrigation dams out here.
Right, yeah. And actually, you know, one of the most historic floods in Nebraska was the 1935 Republican River flood. Massive amounts of rains fell throughout the Republican Basin. And it's really a terrible flood, of course, came down the Republican River. And many, many homes were destroyed. I don't have the loss of life numbers off the top of my head, but I do know there were some fatalities. But yeah, that's after that 1935 flood, there was a big push to build some some flood control. And that's where the dams like Trenton and Enders, you know, those were a major flood control project, as well as providing water for irrigation. But you look at that flood happened in 1935, and then, it takes a while to get these projects going and get them planned and get them designed. But then those dams started being built, in the 1950s. They've been there for a long time, and they do their job. And as long as everything's working properly, maybe we tend to forget that they're there. And as long as everything's working properly, but they do provide massive amounts of flood control, and that's a good thing we have them.
And so that kind of brings up a topic. So what are some of the important changes that you've seen that have helped improve or raise awareness to the dams you oversee here in Nebraska?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I could talk about. I think the biggest change that I've seen in the 17 years that I've been with the department is a change in technology. We now have what's called LIDAR data for the entire state. Not to get too much into the weeds here, but LIDAR stands for light detection and ranging. Mm-hmm. We essentially now have a three-dimensional elevation model for the entire state that is highly accurate. So we can use that to help us find problems with dams that we might not otherwise see. We may be able to see, a slight settlement on the crest of a dam. We inspect the dam. Visually, we may not be able to see it. The dip might be very slight, but with the LIDAR data, the LIDAR data can pick up those, maybe that sag in the dam. And then we start asking the question, well, why is that sag there? Is there some sort of internal erosion going on inside the dam? Was there settlement? Is it possible that the dam could have cracked? We also can use the LIDAR data. With the LIDAR data, we can better predict if the dam were to fail, where the water would go.
Wow.
So this helps us with kind of those emergency action plans and making sure the dams are properly classified. It's very important to know if this dam fails, where is the water going to go? Who is going to be impacted? Who could be impacted? That sort of thing. So that's probably the biggest thing that's happened in the last 15 years, I would say, that's kind of changed how we do things and made us, really helps us do our job better.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Just, you're talking about visually, you don't see it, but then you pull it up on the LIDAR and you're like, well, there it is. And then, it makes you super aware and then you can go back through. So that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, no, it's a great tool for us.
And then is there anything else you want to add that I didn't get to ask you that you kind of want to talk about?
Yeah, I guess a couple things real quick we should probably hit on. We regulate the, just shy of 3,000 dams, kind of where the thresholds are by the statutes. If the dam is more than 25 feet tall, we regulate the dam. So we're often asked, what does that mean, 25 feet tall? So that's basically how tall the dam is. So typically a dam is built across a stream. Mm-hmm. So it would be from the bottom of the stream where the dam was built up and to the top of the dam. And most of our dams are earthen dams. They're built out of soil. So that's from the bottom of the stream up to the very top of the soil embankment or the dike, basically, where the top of the soil is, where, if it rains enough, the water goes over the top of the dam. That's where the 25 feet is measured. But there's also a volume of water as well. So the dam could be less than 25 feet tall, but if it stores more than 50 acre feet of water at that top of dam elevation, it would also fall under our regulations. So there is a second set of permits that have to do with storing of water. Those are separate. If someone wants to build a pond, if the pond will store more than 15 acre feet at basically the lowest open overflow or where the water would, most of our dams have a pipe that go through them. Mm-hmm. So it's when the water fills up to that pipe elevation and where it starts to flow out the pipe. The threshold there is 15 acre feet. So if it's larger than that, it'll need a permit. Or if that water is going to be used for beneficial purpose, like irrigation, if you're going to build a dam and plan to pump water out of there to irrigate with, it would also need a storage permit. So those are the thresholds to be aware of. And I do want to mention those are volume measurements. So when we say 15 acre feet, some people get confused. For example, if you had a pond that the average size was, say the surface area of the pond when it was full is 1 acre surface area. And the average depth, if you took the average across that 1 acre, if the average depth was 14 feet, 1 acre times 14 feet would be 14 acre feet. So if you built a pond that was 14 acre feet, you're not planning to use that water other than to be a pond for either livestock water or to fish out of. You wouldn't need a storage permit. But if you go bigger than that, if you get over 15 acre feet or you're going to irrigate, then you would need a storage permit.
That's really good information for everybody to have. And I guess that kind of brings up another topic. If you send somebody out a letter, they should probably respond to it, huh?
Yeah, you know, we have, you know, basically we have the statutes that were passed by the legislature. It spells out what we need to do to keep track of all the dams and basically make sure that the safety standards are being met. And it's all about public safety. So we try really hard to, you know, not be in people's business, you know, mm-hmm. to let people mm-hmm. do what they want and let them live their lives without getting in their way. But if we do have a safety concern, you know, I think we have an important job to do. So if we do have a safety concern, we've given a lot of thought to it before we've contacted the landowner or the dam owner. And so really we try to work with people. I always think that everybody deserves an explanation. So if we do send a letter, usually we've tried to talk to them before and maybe we haven't been able to get a hold of them, so we have to send a letter.
Right.
But really what we want to do is start a conversation. And most of the time, the vast majority of the time, if we have a chance to explain what our concern is and why we're concerned, and maybe even show them an example of another dam, like this was the problem at this dam and this is what happened, and this was why we're concerned about this particular issue. Once people have a time to ask questions and talk it through, we can usually, you know, we usually find a solution and a way to go forward.
Yeah. And I don't think you're scary to talk to at all, Tim. So they should, give you a call after they see the letter. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just me here. You know, we have a team of six others on our team. And we've got other engineers and technicians, and they've all been kind of trained in what we call dam safety. So yeah, there's a whole team here. And if can't get hold of me, there's other people here to talk to as well that can help you.
Perfect. Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much for all this information, Tim. I can't wait for everybody else to now know about stuff.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity here to be on your podcast. And I always like to take the opportunity to tell people about what we do and why we do it, and really how important our dams are in Nebraska, all the benefits they provide. But we have to make sure the dams are safe. So that's where we come in. So basically protect those benefits, the foresight of kind of the generations that came before us to take the initiatives to build those dams. And now, you know, our department, but the dam owners and everyone working together to make sure we maintain those benefits so that we can continue to realize those benefits into the future.
All right, Tim, thank you so much again for being our guest today on Nebraska on Tap. And again, the Nebraska Dam Owner Workshop is going to be held October 22nd in Lincoln, October 24th in North Platte of 2024. You do need to sign up to be able to get in. It's a $20 per person fee, and you can find that at the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources website. And just for a fun fact here before we go, Kingsley Dam in Keith County, which was completed in 1941, is the largest and tallest dam in the state. The oldest dam still in existence is Kearney Dam, and it's in Buffalo County, and it was constructed in 1885. Once again, thank you for tuning in to us here at Nebraska on Tap and listening to the information that we have to give you this week. You can always go to www.nebraskaontap.com to find more of our episodes and our YouTube videos. You can also catch us on the socials at our Instagram, X/Twitter page, TikTok, and then on Facebook, we are the Middle Republican NRD. So I hope everybody has a great one. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.